This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome. Get ready for the ride.
Hide and seek.
A very good evening to you, one and all. My name is Dean Beck. This is your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. Hello to Benny B.
Good evening, Dean Beck.
How are you?
I'm very, very good indeed.
Excellent.
Always excited on a Wednesday night.
Well, what's not to be excited about?
Exactly.
Hey, I got to speak to Cindy Lauper.
Oh, you're so lucky. You get to have all the fun.
Well, it's not just the girls, you know. She was lots of fun. Mm-hmm. And the show Kinky Boots, amazing.
I haven't seen it yet.
But you must.
I will. I promise.
It's great. So you can have a listen to the podcast of The Informer earlier today or Saturday Magazine from last weekend. Mm-hmm. And you can hear my interview with Cindy Lauper.
Okay. I will do.
Do that. Other than that, how have you been?
I've been really good. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, I'm saving myself for the sort of Cup Day Eve party shenanigans. I've got things going on. I'm getting in shape. I'm finding an outfit.
You know, yeah, I'm doing all that too. Yeah. I've got nothing planned for this weekend other than dinner with my father on Sunday night.
Oh, that's nice. Maybe, perhaps.
Tonight we're going to be talking about how dating apps have affected the social scene.
Yes.
So we'd like to hear from you, 0427JOY949, or you can email us on air@joy.org.au. But before we do, there's something I want to clear up.
Okay.
I hope you're listening.
You guys have something?
There was a report in The Age dated October 8 by a dear friend who got something wrong. So I'll speak to her at another point in time. But basically, this report said that there were a 112% rise in the number of AIDS-related deaths in the last 6 months here in Victoria, from 8 to 17 over the same period as last year. Now, that would be huge and horrific if it was true, but it's not. That figure of 17 people that died over that period is of people who were HIV positive, regardless of whether they were had an AIDS-defining illness or not. So they could have been hit by a bus.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Yep.
So, Farah, my dear, get your shit together and get it right. Now, tonight we'll be speaking to a very good friend of yours, and we're going to be talking about dating apps.
How that's affected us.
Yeah. How it's just sort of rooted the gay scene and all that sort of stuff. But first, did I mention that I spoke to Cindy Lauper?
You may have mentioned
it. I'm Cindy Lauper from Kinky Boots. Tune in. Oh, fuck. Okay, keep the fuck out of it. Hi, I'm Cindy Lauper from Kinky Boots. Tune in to Joy's kinky show, Hide and Seek.
So dangerous, I'm gonna get Dean Beck and Benny B with you. It is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And tonight we're talking about dating apps.
We sure are. How has the popularity of dating apps affected how we go out, socialise and hook up? I'd say quite a lot, wouldn't you?
I certainly would. But we have a man here with us who is from New York who might know a little bit more. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I read in your bio that you worked in the sex industry there. It's a broad industry. It's a broad church. Perhaps not a church. What aspect of the industry did you work in New York?
So basically, I've worked at a shop in New York City, similar to Eagle Leather here in Melbourne, actually, called Leatherman. And Leatherman has been in New York for about 51 years now.
Wow!
So it's a pretty solid establishment as part of the New York City, you know, LGBT leather community scene.
Nearly as old as me, Ben. Well, that store would have seen a hell of a lot of changes.
Yes, yes. I think it's actually the only shop left on Christopher Street.
Right.
Because all of the stores have pretty much closed down and local businesses have been damaged by rent.
I remember there was a iconic gay bookshop that closed down on Christopher Street maybe 4 years ago or so. And, you know, that was sort of the last hurrah for the street. Would that sound about right?
Yes. A lot of times, I mean, a lot of bookshops, like even local, have really closed because of the digital industry, really. It's taken over and kind of just, it's such a different approach now to literature and anything, you know, in the arts as well. So it's a little bit disheartening to see that as we enter a whole new range of technology, really.
And, I mean, the premise of tonight's show is to talk about how our, I guess, networking has changed, how our interaction has changed, how we've changed the way we meet people.
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, that has cultural impacts, clearly, which is what we're talking about. But you don't go out to a bar to pick up anymore.
Not in the case,
not really.
No, not so much.
It's so funny, like, even you might not believe it, just look at me, but I have been around for a few years. Just like, I remember myself coming from a small town, and your only opportunity to meet somebody that was gay, friendship, for sex, for anything else, was this small window on Saturday night at the one gay bar in town.
Yeah,
like, your whole week is like, it's leading
focus
up to that
point. That.
And if you don't have the guts to approach somebody, if you miss your opportunity for these, like, 4 hours on a Saturday night, you're blown for, that's it, you know? And it's such a isolating thing. And so now, the game's changed.
Which is why Beats filled in those other gaps, I guess.
Yeah.
Because the whole beat culture has totally changed as well. Mm-hmm. Now, give us, Kevin, your outline of your experience in the US and how it's been changed. Because at the same time, there's kind of been a change in the drug culture as well, which has also had an impact. Yeah. So let's include all of that.
Well, with my experience in New York, I mean, I'm active. I have my own, you know, dating apps as well. But, you know, in New York, it's such a huge, huge, huge city. You know, like in Manhattan, 6 million people alone. And there's always a constant change of people coming in.
And a real center of focus for the rest of the world.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Everybody gravitated towards New York.
Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, there's always something new in New York, a new party, a new bar opens.
New people.
Yes, exactly. And there's a lot of competition. And, you know, in my experience, I grew up in New York, so I've seen a lot of change.
So New York is your actual home?
Yes, born and bred in Manhattan, actually. Yeah. So. But it's crazy to think how, like, every generation has its own experience of the nightlife and the culture. And now, like, having, you know, like I said, with the development of technology, it's such a integrated part of our culture that it's changed our dynamic with everyone, you know. And so for me, when I go out with my friends, it's just with my mates, or, you know, just hanging out. And there's not so much a thing now where you kind of go out to pursue someone or
to cruise.
Right. Or courting someone in a way. But it's all about who you're with. You know, it's the scene, basically. So some of these parties are all about, like, if you know the doorman, or if you're in the guest list, or if you know the promoter.
But how is that any different from back in my day when it was very much like that?
Mm-hmm. But it's just the social media itself. It's just more about like, you kind of just go online, and then if you want instant gratification, you go there. Mm. I've witnessed myself a few people who've actually been at the bar on Grindr.
Yeah, or on all Scruff, the time. I've had a friend, you're at a bar and a friend's like checking out a dude, and it's like, well, why don't you go say hello? But his response is, oh, well, he would have said hello to me on Grindr if he liked.
Yeah.
You know,
like, oh, really?
That, you know, that, yeah, kind of
even
like
in the venue.
Yeah, that.
Wow.
It's kind of like you've seen their Grindr profile 100 times, or you've seen their social media presence before you've actually seen them in the flesh. It's like
you've probably seen their cock too. Yeah. So is all of that sort of that ducking and weaving, that whole courting, whatever you want to call it, has been eliminated by show us your dick, and there it is.
Pretty much.
So you kind of know everything before you've even got to it.
Yeah. It's just kind of like...
In fact, that's part of the deal these days, isn't it?
It's like scratch and sniff, really. So, I mean, that's how it is. That's how I see it as. But, you know, like when you brought up like, oh, if you said hi to me at the bar, then you would have said something. But it's like when you see someone at the gym, you start cruising and you're like, you're on Grindr, and then you see them and you're like, hey, like, weren't you at the locker room? And then it just kind of, it changes the whole dynamic.
Perhaps you'd like to share with us some of your stories.
No, but I've heard stories from other friends who... You know.
But the listener might like to share some of their stories with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that 0427JOY949 or email us onair@joy.org.au. Tell us about some of the experiences where you've been out and interacted with someone that you've not met face-to-face before, but you kind of seem to know all about. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Ben, is this a good thing or a bad thing, do you think? I mean, because there are benefits to all of this.
It's definitely a double-edged sword, I think.
There's a safety element that works well for and against as well, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think that, I haven't seen any statistics myself about a venue's closing down.
Oh, hell yeah.
Is it just...
Well, you only have to look...
How much has this really affected...
You look at what we used to have in Oxford Street and what we used to have here in Commercial Road and all of the venues along those two main strips. They're all gone.
Mm.
And we've got a very sort of fractured community in that sense. There's not that one sort of enclave to gravitate towards. Maybe that's a good thing too, but I don't know. I mean, the venues that we do have seem to be well popularized. There's plenty of people these days, but it's impacted saunas, it's impacted Beats. Mm-hmm. That whole culture's changed.
Yeah. I think as far as the venues and saunas that are sticking around, I don't think they've come as far yet. I think they could use apps and social media a lot better. In different sort of ways, like checking in, like who's here tonight would be sort of...
In fact, they've not utilized any social media to market themselves, which I think is silly.
I think in future we're gonna see venues doing things a lot smarter and a lot different ways to utilize those platforms.
Because with the with Beats disappearing, saunas still provide a neutral place for people who can't host or don't want to, and for travellers and all that sort of stuff. So they still meet on the apps, hook up on the apps, but meet at a sauna.
Mm.
I think it's a little bit better when you actually see someone firsthand, like personal interaction, as opposed to just kind of really using the app because, you know, even with... I'm sure, have you heard of Catfish, that show?
Yes.
So that's another, you know, thing you have to consider.
So explain for us what Catfish is for those that don't understand.
So Catfish basically is when two people meet through any other medium, social medium, and one person pretends to be a person they're not.
And or they've had a prolonged period of maybe courtship or friendship online, but never actually met until they do, and it's not... what they thought.
Right, and they use, I think the most important thing to consider also is they use photos from some other source that's not
them. From their heyday.
Have you ever had one of your photos appear somewhere else? I have.
Oh, I haven't, no.
Yeah.
But you know, I have catfished somebody. I have catfished someone.
Tell me about that.
All right. So remember, it was in the early days of Grindr when it was a little bit glitchy,
yeah,
and you didn't have a profile. It was device specific. So that phone was that profile. I was staying in America for a while. I bought a phone from some secondhand dealer. First thing I did in South Beach, uploaded my Grindr profile. Little did I know, it didn't put my pictures up. It had somebody else.
Wow.
So for a couple of weeks there in South Beach, Florida, I was curious Indian bear.
That's
and
hilarious.
I didn't know until I met someone and went, you don't look like curious Indian bear.
That's amazing. Oh.
So there you go.
0427 Joy 949 is the SMS for you to share your stories. This is Hide and Seek.
Fire it all.
This is Hide and Seek here on Joy 94.9, your show for all things sex, sexuality, and self. Benny B here, Dean Beck in the studio. Tonight, we're talking about how has the popularity of dating apps affected how we go out, socialize, and hook up.
And God, hasn't ever. Now, one of the things it does do is enable us to express what we want.
Indeed.
Clearly.
Quite specifically.
Yes. But some people tend to express what they don't want.
Yes.
And that's not always the nicest way to go about
sometimes.
It. I don't use the particular one that we've mentioned a couple of times here.
Mm-hmm.
I use another one, but
mm-hmm.
that's all right. And I only use the one.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, what is your experiences of, whether it's racism or ageism or any negativity? I love the ones that say between 21 and 27. 20. You know, it's like, wow, that's so specific. Yeah. What is with that?
No one under 50.
Thanks. Things like that. Experiences, gentlemen?
I don't use this sort of... I don't use the filters myself. I like to keep my options open. Or maybe I'm just not picky.
Yeah, I'm not really that picky either. No, I don't use the filters, but I even just in the way people phrase their profiles.
Yep. I don't know. What do you think, Kevin?
I think
racism, ageism, sexism.
It all. I feel like sometimes the filters kind of enable that activity, that mentality that you're able to kind of filter that through. But
I can never work the filters out.
Are they on? Is it on?
I know. Okay.
But I feel like sometimes it's just. It's a way for someone to really find their true fantasy of their right partner. And so that's why they kind of put these filters on.
Hope they're not disappointed.
Who knows? But
yeah.
I feel like there's a good and bad end to that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's kind of abused more.
I've always thought that if you're very clear in what you're on about and mm-hmm. where you're at
mm-hmm.
about yourself, that filters out most of the bullshit.
Right.
Like, that way, whatever is attracted for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. Whatever people mm-hmm. opt into, they mm-hmm. opt into for the right reasons.
Right. Then there's keywords, things like preference, or it's not racism, not ageism, or anything like that. It's just, it's what turns me on, or, you know.
So that's about using language about what you are into, not using language about what you're not into,
right,
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the difference there, isn't it?
The thing is, we were never, I mean, all of this emerged, and we were never given the training lesson,
no,
were
no.
we? We were never told this is the way to do
right.
it, and the way to do it right. And the crossover from what was web to what was app,
mm-hmm.
hugely mm. different.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yep, I would. I feel like it's gotten. I think we've gotten a little bit better as far as saying what we don't like and being straight up racist or.
Yeah, although occasionally you see some shockers.
You do see some shockers. Yeah.
Have you heard of douchebags of Grindr?
I have heard of it. Yes,
that's pretty standard, I think. And I feel like some of that it's a little bit made up, but
yeah, right.
I've experienced a few of those myself, and I've seen it, and I'm. kind of flabbergasted to see some of those posts, actually.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit much.
You'd like to think we've evolved a little further than that, but perhaps not.
I feel like we've probably retracted, if anything.
Yeah, really?
You know?
Talk about that.
It's just, my friends and I back in New York, like, we always talk about our experience with, like, having the scruff or the grinder date. And one of my best friends back home, he's always, everywhere he goes, he's a makeup artist, and so he travels to Milan, Paris, and he comes back to New York and he tells me all the stories about how, like, he got stood up once by this Italian guy that he met on Grindr, and he had given him the address of where he was staying, and he stood him up. He had him waiting at the front gate for 20 minutes and didn't say anything at all. And it was, there was no indication that he was disinterested. He said, "No, you're not my type," and just left him hanging outside a door for no reason. And I think people just kind of have different experiences with the app itself, whether it's negative or positive, but there's always a story to it when you're using it, you know, whether it's getting set up or having the best time. And I think it's also kind of cool that the good that comes out of these apps is that you find friendship, you find a place, shelter, job. Even
there are people I know that have worked on this program that have traveled the world, yeah, thanks to Grindr, yeah, and not had to really worry about accommodation.
Yeah, but it's there's always something good that comes out of it. But, you know, there's a few of the bad apples that kind of get mixed in, and then when you're in that basket, you kind of just get thrown in
around with the bad apples.
Yeah,
and then there are people that eat you.
Yes,
as we heard earlier tonight.
There you go.
Yeah,
We'd love to hear from you. 0427JOY949 or email us onair@joy.org.au. Share your Grindr stories and stories of apps. Disclosure.
That's a big one.
Now, disclosure is a big one. When they first originated, they kind of avoided disclosure in any sort of way.
I feel like this is kind of a new thing and they've just kind of snuck it in.
Yeah, I think there's also been call for it too.
Yep.
For the right reasons. Mm-hmm. But they... apps, the companies were very hesitant to go down that path because they didn't want it to be used against people.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, it works very openly. Now, you've listed here, Ben, Grindr has a POS tribe. What is that, like a community or what?
What happens if you subscribe to the POS tribe, it on your profile, mm-hmm, is that right, Kevin? It says what I'm into, tribes, and right, we'll say POS.
Like, right, so that's like a community.
Yeah, like,
right, so if, right, if you're positive and you want to you want to disclose information for people to know that, because, as you know, everyone gets it's a very sensitive issue. So when you address that on your own free will, it kind of makes it easier for someone to kind of see that and acknowledge that you are positive and
sure. And so it's just the term tribe. They use that as the community or a grouping, right?
Yep.
And you could be leather or twink or
they're the others, and it doesn't necessarily filter you out. It's something that at this point is on your profile there for people to see if you wish to disclose that. That's what that's called.
Well, there's the app that I use is a similar thing. I think that by self-disclosing, that also sorts out a lot of drama too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're more respected that way, I think, just because you're open, and it gives the other party, you know, at ease, and it shows a sense of consciousness and being respectful to the other person to say that, you know, because you hear stories about people who, you know, who hook up and
certainly I've heard some horror stories about people who've been in conversation and then disclosed. Right. So it's not disclosed in the app, but it's disclosed in the two-way conversation on the app, and some horrendous things that have happened.
Yeah.
Some people are assholes, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say a lot.
You'd say, oh, really?
No, but I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, you can say whatever you like. This is hide and seek. As long as you're not defaming anyone. So interactions generally, are we saying apps are much better for interactions these days? Certainly makes it quicker and more local, mm-hmm. perhaps.
Yeah. International, I think, too, actually, because I've actually met some people through Scruff, or because Scruff actually has a geographical feature where if you venture, there's a feature called venture where you type in a specific city and you can kind of see who is in that grid.
So if you were to travel to that city, right. you can do so in advance by using this function.
You can have a peek, actually.
Yeah, right. Yes,
yeah. So they call it Venture, which, you know, has like a GPS system.
I believe they have a travel function as well. Oh, is that right?
Yes. Yes. So you announce your travel dates and how long you're staying for.
Yes, that has come in handy a couple of times.
For what purpose, maybe?
For meeting people who are traveling. And for people traveling. It's very travel friendly. Now, what other features do we like of apps? Because they're actually adding little bits and pieces to them all the time. Have we noticed any other new bits and pieces?
Well,
depends whether you pay for them now, too, because a lot of these apps, they're stripping away the bits you get for free.
Well, if you want to see more guys, you got to pay extra, basically. That's what it is. If you want to see more people.
How much does it cost? Well, about $8.95 a month.
Joy 94.9.
So, do you want to hear something different? Head to joy.org.au/programs, click on any of our specialist programs and find their podcast, such as
Family Matters, this week interviewing mum-to-be Fiona, who shares her journey of selecting a donor and conceiving.
Cravings, who this week interviewed two authors and explored books about food, funnily enough.
Checkpoint, exploring the independent Australian video games industry.
And Brekkie Bears ate themselves stupid discussing living with exes. What are the rules around these arrangements? And how long should you wait before having a friend over?
Mm. And on Neon Nights, John interviews local out loud and proud musician Peter Wilson.
Or simply head to our latest podcast feed at joy.org.au/podcast.
So why don't we just fuck?
You are listening to the show where we explore sex, sexuality and self. Dean Beck, Benny B, and our guest Kevin, who is all the way from New York, living here in Melbourne now.
Yes, moved in here.
And how long is this journey going to be for? Are you here for good?
For now, it's for 1 year because I'm on a working holiday visa. But
right. No one from immigration is listening.
No, I'll be all right for now.
Well, that's exciting. Well, I hope you enjoy it. Yes. Are you bored witless? It's not New York.
You know what? I came here 2 years ago on holiday and I loved it.
Okay.
And I was like, I have to come back.
Cool.
So well, I'm back here again.
Nice. Now, what were we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about New York. We're going to talk about...
Oh, yes.
Bathhouses.
Bathhouses, yes, in New York.
Yes,
yes. Yes. Which didn't close down due to apps, but did close down.
Yes. So, I think, if I'm correct, they kind of stopped around the 80s.
Were you even born then?
Halfway there. But the bathhouses in New York are kind of pretty much non-existent, and I think a part of it was due from the AIDS crisis in the 80s.
Certainly, they shut them down quick smart. Yeah. And so what has emerged is a sex party scene.
Yes, that's correct. And actually, they're becoming more prevalent now, actually, because...
More organized?
Yeah, somewhat. There larger. Are a lot of new parties have been happening now, even before I had moved here, and I've heard about all these new parties, new promoters throwing different things, and they're using it through Grindr or any other social media, and it basically spreads through word of mouth.
And is it sort of a sex party with a DJ and all that sort of stuff, or is it a dance party with sex in the corner?
It depends on who's throwing it, but for the most part, there's always music involved. There's some alcohol. Some of it is huge, some of it are big parties, some of them are smaller, maybe around 15 to 20 average.
So more of a private party.
Sort a private party, but they kind of use the apps to kind of find a way to filter their market, their target, you know, their target audience or whatever you want to call them. Yeah. Everyone. But it's become more popular now because a lot of, in New York City, there are no dark rooms. There are no...
So they're like still that. Sort of policed.
And actually, even you know the leather bar in New York, Eagle. It's heavily not heavily, but it's monitored, and so sometimes security just kind of patrols over and makes sure that everyone's behaving properly. Just because of New York City health code laws, it's so complex that they kind of just...
They'd shut you down quickly.
Yeah, I mean, there are nights where it gets busy and it's crowd control just doesn't get, you know...
Security doesn't get to the back.
They can't get everywhere.
Right.
Okay. Elbow to elbow, you know, right. It's all kind of just who they can get.
But it's very different to what was happening in the 70s and
80s. Yeah, I mean, I've actually spoken to my friends and I always tell them that, you know, if there was a time that I could live back and see and, you know, experience, would be actually New York in the 80s, because it's very heavy. A lot of experiences involved in like the nightlife scene and the AIDS crisis. And, you know, my friend's parents have told me, Kevin, you don't want to live in the 80s in New York because it was such a bad time. Like,
yeah, I would have said the late 70s, not the 80s.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I was born in the 80s, so I kind of wanted to see that time.
Yeah, well. Which indicates when I was born. But, yes. It's fascinating how we've evolved and regressed and changed. And I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Have you had your share of New York nightlife?
No, I've never been to New York.
No.
No. Okay.
You should...
He's been busy enough in Melbourne, I hear. Oh. I mean, I've never been invited to one of his parties, but I hear they happen frequently.
Is it very expensive?
Huge.
Now, moving on. Before you get me into too much trouble. What is it that you want to get out of your time here in Australia, Kevin?
Just an experience and to enjoy the culture. Like I said before, I've grew up in the city. I've had my time there and... Just need a change, you know, just clear my head a bit.
What's it like being someone who grows up in New York? I guess you don't know any different. No. It's a stupid question.
No. Like living in the city, I've always like watching mainstream media about the perfect American life where you have a white picket fence and the grass in the backyard. I've always wanted to experience that.
Yeah, right.
Because I walked on concrete and cement every day.
Skyscrapers right up.
Yeah, and the subway. That was pretty much my daily life.
No trees, no grass. So a park, I guess.
Yeah, Central Park. But it's a very different experience from a lot of people because, you know, you live in a city where everyone comes to. And in my experience, I've met so many people that have left New York. And even my friends that are from the city have left Manhattan.
Yeah. Because you know, I kind of imagined it a little bit like no one... It's a bit like Canberra. No one's born in Canberra.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Like everyone goes to it and stays for a while and then goes again. Yeah. But people obviously, with 6 million, there are people that are born in New York. You're one of them.
Mm. Yeah. It's quite rarity, actually. And people who are also born in New York tend to be, you know, from like the other boroughs. So like Queens, Brooklyn. Right.
Which I've never got my head quite around.
Yeah. There's five. And then not including Long Island. So Long Island is a whole another... It's part of New York State, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So what sort of distances are we talking between these regions?
So it's kind of like the suburbs here, as I guess you would call it. Okay. So for instance, if we were to talk about Queens, then you would kind of put in relation to... I'm still knowing my suburbs here, but I want to say south, maybe like... God forgive me if I'm getting this wrong.
Richmond, South Yarra.
Yeah, like South Yarra, Paran area, okay. St. Kilda, like all those areas would
be... So a couple of kilometers away.
Yeah. So where I grew up in Washington Heights, I would say you can kind of put that in relation to like where Brunswick, Coburg would be.
Okay.
In the north.
Yeah.
All like within 20, 30 minutes by subway.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it's not 40 minutes or an hour in some cases.
It's another world.
Another world.
You guys should go, or anyone else really is listening.
And yet you've run away from it.
Yeah.
No, I love Melbourne, so I come here to, you know.
Well, we love having you, yeah. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so
and
much.
Thank you very much for joining us on Hide and Seek tonight.
Thank you.
And sharing some of your insights as to apps and stuff. Appreciate it.
I think we could talk a lot about apps, couldn't we? We could really go on for a very long time.
But we won't, because this is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self, not his.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Benny B, it's time for us to say goodnight.
Comes around so quickly.
It does indeed. But we'll be back again next week.
We sure will.
And so I guess until then, you can check us out on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. Till next time, keep well. Take care.
Nighty-night.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.